Good morning, everyone. The Senate Subcommittee on Ethical Conduct will come to order. Today is Thursday, April 24th at 11 a.m. Members, on today's agenda is the continuation of Senator Champion's request for an advisory opinion under Senate Rule 55.2. The plan for today is to deliberate on the request and to determine how to proceed. It's my intention that we reach an agreement today, and we will give Ms. Stengel direction to draft an opinion for the subcommittee to review. As a reminder, we have a hard stop at 12:50 in order to prepare for today's, 12:50 in order to prepare for today's floor session at 1 p.m. Members of the audience, I would like to ask that you please silence your phones. I know we had that at our last meeting. Throughout today's proceedings, we'll expect the audience to please refrain from clapping or audibly reacting to any actions taken by the subcommittee. It's just really our Senate custom that we ask the audience not to provide any reaction. I'd appreciate that. As a reminder, Senate Champion has requested this subcommittee to serve in an advisory capacity under Senate Rule 55.2 and to issue a recommendation and provide his advice as to whether he has a potential conflict of interest. I just wanted to comment on that word potential. I think potential, we talked about that the other day, could mean future or it could mean possible. And we'll talk about that some more. There is no disciplinary aspect involved in this process. There is a separate proceeding from the complaint brought by Senator Cruen against Senator Champion. In our role today, we are to focus only on providing guidance to Senator Champion in the advisory opinion. Based on the advice of Senate counsel, it seems there are four potential outcomes of today's proceedings that this guidance can take. Those are, one, a finding of no conflict of interest under the statute and Senate rule. Two, a finding of conflict of interest under the statute and Senator rule. Three, a finding that no conflict or interest exists through violation of law or Senate rule, with the guidance and understanding that the actions taken were inadvisable and similar behavior should be refrained from in future instances. And four, inconclusive, meaning a consensus of the subcommittee has not been reached as to the matter of conflict of interest. A finding of the subcommittee must be by consensus, which for today's proceeding simply means a majority vote. It's my intention that we announce that finding today. We will then return on Monday, May 5th, to vote to adopt the advisory opinion memo and take up the matter of the ethics complaint filed on April 10th. Are there any questions from members as to today's proceedings? Okay. Moving on, Senator Champion and his counsel, Mr. Charlie Nowen, today, who will be joining remotely over Zoom, are available for questions. Senator Champion is before us, and I'd like him to take the oath. Mr. Nowen, please also turn on your camera, and I'll ask you both to raise your right hands. You do swear that the evidence you shall give relative to the cause now under consideration shall be the whole truth and nothing but the truth, and this you do affirm under penalties of perjury.
I do.
Mr. Nowen, you have to turn on your mic.
I do.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Champion and Mr. Nowen. I'll now open the floor for deliberations. Members, are there any follow-up questions from our time spent on this matter this past Tuesday?
And Madam Chair,
Senator Champion.
My opening statement.
Oh, I thought you wanted to make a final statement. That's fine. You can make
no,
an opening statement.
But my final statement, because it's my understanding that once you all deliberate, then I can't say anything then.
Thank you. Then please proceed with your statement, which I think you said there was a written copy?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
All right. And I'm going to be reading from that, but I think it's important to read from it so that those who are not here also have an opportunity to know what it says as well. And as you've already mentioned, I do have with me Charlie Nowen, who is one of the attorneys. You got a chance to meet David Cole. Called the other day, who was with me in person. So I do thank Mr. Nowen, who is with us remotely. Members, I've thought deeply about this, and I thought that I would capture all of my thoughts, as many as I can, in my framing. And And I would start by saying Rule 55.2 allows a member to request an advisory opinion regarding a potential conflict of interest. And when such a request is made, the Subcommittee on Ethics must provide the advisory opinion to the member. There is a good reason for this process. If concerns are raised in news stories or social media regarding a member's conduct, an advisory opinion from the subcommittee may be the only method for members to clear their name, because only this subcommittee has the authority and the duty to speak definitively on the issue. We've had media outlets go from saying there was a conflict of interest requiring disclosure without reading the conflict of interest statute. Then we've had another media outlet attempting to outdo the other by saying the unfounded conflict of interest really is about fraud and corruption when there hasn't been any. I repeat, there's been no alleged fraud, misuse of funds, or corruption involving 21 Days of Peace in this matter. Unfortunately, there's been loose use of facts that attempts to erode my integrity. And I'm reminded of this, and why it's so tough for me is because I think about my dad. And so my father would say the only thing a person, and he would actually say the only thing a poor person has is their word and their reputation. And I fought hard and lived my life upholding the importance of integrity. Again, once this matter became the headlines of media outlets, I submitted a request for this body to help with the past unfounded allegations and to provide an advisory opinion for me and my Senate colleagues. Because anytime you put forward an advisory opinion, it's not just for me, but it also provides guidance for others as well. Importantly, the subcommittee's duty to respond to a request for an advisory opinion is not limited to circumstances where the action relates to currently pending legislation. Nothing in Rule 55.2 imposes such a limitation, and the subcommittee should not infer such a limitation. Of course, the subcommittee's action in response to a request for an advisory opinion relating to past action cannot change the fact that a bill was enacted in the law, but that is always the case, even if the proposed legislation is still pending. The subcommittee never has the power to block a bill from passage in response to a request for an advisory opinion, but it always has the authority and the duty to see an advisory opinion in response to a request, and in doing so, to speak definitively on the question of whether a conflict of interest existed or currently exists. Similarly, the rules do not absorb the committee of its obligation to issue an advisory opinion when an ethics complaint has been filed addressing the same or related conduct from media outlets. That is particularly true here. As the subcommittee is aware, members have filed an ethics complaint relating to what they believe my conduct when I introduced Senate file numbers 2970 and 2978, citing concerns related to this obligation to my former client under the Minnesota Rules of Professional Conduct. For clarity, the previously submitted and passed bills provided a direct appropriation to Community Action Partnership, also known as CAP, but it's Community Action Partnership of Hennepin County. The direct appropriation was not made directly to 21 Days of Peace. The CAP agency was to work with both A Mother's Love and 21 Days of Peace for a community violence prevention initiative and a job and career development strategy. Now back to the filed ethics complaint based on media stories. This complaint, which was filed after I made a request for an advisory opinion, does not address the narrow question presented in my request, whether a conflict of interest exists under Minnesota Statute 10A.07 in connection with my introduction of Senate file numbers 2970 and 2978. If the committee believes an advisory opinion cannot be rendered for any past behavior, then how can this committee entertain an ethics complaint that's based on the same past actions in the request for an advisory opinion? The bottom line is that this subcommittee has the duty and authority to issue an advisory opinion in response to my request, and because I had no financial interest in either Senate file 2970 or 2978, the subcommittee must conclude that no conflict of interest existed under Minnesota Statute 10A.07. The last thing that I would say is that what I'm faced with is the improbable notion of what happens when media and others take a story and write about it. Whether true or false, whether balanced reporting or not, whether any of the facts were confirmed, whether none of those things happen, any member can find themselves before this committee, because unfortunately, we sometimes allow media articles to weaponize or form as to what we should or should not do. And that's no disrespect to any media outlet. It is the clear sense that we as a committee and those who oversee this important body, it's important for us to go forward and give us the guidance that we need. So with that being said, thank you, Madam Chair, for the opportunity to speak. You also have a copy of this document in your packets. And with that being said, it's my understanding that I will just see if there's anything I missed that Mr. Naughton would like to say, and then I'll allow you to ask me any questions before your deliberation.
Just a brief comment from Mr. Naughton. Or anything addition? You don't have to repeat anything that Senator Champion already said.
I won't repeat anything, Madam Chair, or members of the subcommittee, but I think Senator Champion set out precisely the issue here, and the facts were established definitively on Tuesday. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Member discussion. Senator Miller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm wondering if Council could just give us an overview of specifically what the advisory opinion Senator Champion is asking of this committee to issue. So what specifically is Senator Champion asking us to issue an advisory opinion on today?
Ms. Stengel.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam Chair,
former President,
and Senator Miller and members, the letter submitted by Senator Champion on April 7th, and I can read it, it's fairly brief, says, pursuant to Rule 55.2, this letter is written to request an advisory opinion regarding allegations of a conflict of interest in 2023. I request that the advisory opinion be public. I maintain there is no conflict of interest. See the attached for a chronological outline of my representation of Jerry McAfee in 2023. Because of the additional information and statements from Tuesday and today, I believe that the request is about both the Senate file from 2023 and 2025, and whether there's a conflict of interest related to his authorship and introduction of those two Senate files.
Senator Miller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Ms. Stengel, what can you please describe what a conflict of interest would be?
Ms. Stengel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think, a conflict of interest can mean many things to many people. In this particular setting, in this particular subcommittee, because of Senate Rule 55.2, we are talking about a conflict of interest. And if you look at Senate Rule 56.4, it talks about a potential conflict of interest as provided in Minnesota Statutes 10A.07. We talked about the statute on Tuesday, so I believe in this context a conflict of interest is that outlined in 10A.07 and not more of the conflict of interest in the public perception context.
And thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Stengel, can you please describe what, or summarize what Minnesota statute section 10A.07 describes as a conflict of interest.
Yes, Madam Chair, let me get to my annotated notes here.
Members, we do have 10A.07 in our packets, just for your information.
I appreciate your patience here. I had some notes here that make this a little bit easier for myself, and I didn't have them open. So there are three pieces of a conflict of interest under 10A.07 that need to be present for there to be a conflict of interest. First, there needs to be an action that a senator takes in the discharge of official duties. They have to be required to take an action or make a decision. Two, that action or decision needs to be on a matter which will substantially affect a senator's financial interests or those interests of an associated business. And three, that effect on the senator or their associated business must be greater than the effect on other members in that same business class, profession, or occupation. So all three of those things need to be present in order for there to be a conflict of interest under the statute.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Miller.
Now, I realize today's hearing is specific to an advisory opinion. However, there is also a pending ethics complaint that we're going to discuss at a later date. However, I'm wondering if Ms. Stengel can just give us a summary of what that ethics complaint is and if the ethics complaint addresses a conflict of interest under statute 10A.07.
Senator Miller, I'm just wondering if it's appropriate for us to be talking about the ethics complaint, which none of us have reviewed or seen, or I've been withholding myself from that until after we finish this first step on the advisory, because the advisory opinion was requested before the ethics complaint was filed. So I think that would be appropriate for us to discuss at our next meeting when we actually have the ethics complaint before us.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate that. What I'm trying to get at is based on the small amount of review that I did on the ethics complaint, I don't believe that the ethics complaint actually pertains to statute 10A.07, which is what we're issuing an advisory opinion on. If they did, then my recommendation would be that it would be very difficult for us to issue an advisory opinion while there's a pending ethics complaint, and I'm still struggling with that. However, I don't believe that ethics complaint addresses what we're issuing an advisory opinion on. So that's what I was trying to get from counsel. She could just give us a summary of what that ethics complaint is. Regardless of which one was requested first or second, the reality is we are sitting here today discussing an advisory opinion while there's also a pending ethics complaint.
Senator Miller, we have not even heard the information about the ethics complaint, nor have I personally even read the ethics complaint, and I don't really want my opinion to be influenced by that, which is why I also refrain from reading any media articles. I think it's really not appropriate for us to be discussing anything to do with the ethics complaint until we resolve this issue in front of us. Which is related to 10.807 and Senate Rule 56.4.
Well, Madam Chair, is there the possibility of, Madam Chair, is there the possibility for Senate Counsel just not go into the details about it, but just say what the ethics complaint is, because they are two different complaints, because they're asking for one thing versus another?
I think that's what Senator Miller's request is, yeah. But If that is okay with Senator Champion, because I know that's not been his request before us, then in very brief and high-level view, if Ms. Stengel would just address that then.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I will start with the smallest amount of information possible, Senator Miller, and we'll see if that will answer your question. So one of the questions you asked was whether the complaint addresses conflicts of interest in Section 10A07, and the answer is no, it does not. It specifically references other Senate rules, but not the conflict of interest rule.
Thank you. That answers my question, and that's all.
That's all you wanted to know. Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, and sorry if I went a little overboard there, Senator Miller. Okay. Any more discussion about the advisory committee from members? I have some comments I wanted to share. If no one else is ready to go, I guess my thoughts are that if we are doing our job as legislators, we are very embedded in our communities. We're very engaged in our communities. We have a lot of relationships and a lot of people that we know. And we're a part-time legislature. And we have also professional jobs in our community. And it's, you know, it's if we have such a broad definition of conflict of interest that it involves anyone we know, I think that's just unworkable. I think we need to stick to this fairly narrow discussion of if someone has a financial advantage that is greater than the group that we represent. For example, if you are a teacher, and I think that Senator Kunesh might address that, do you benefit from our education bills? No, because the whole class benefits. It's not just for you specifically. I would use the example that if I authored a bill that was security grants for churches, mosques, synagogues, and then my synagogue applied for that grant and got approved, we would not want that to be considered a conflict of interest. Otherwise, we would never author bills that would influence our community or anybody we know in our community or any, you know, maybe past association we had in our community. So, I mean, my fear would be that if we did move this was a conflict, that Senator Champion would no longer do pro bono work, because we've advised him that that's a conflict, and a lot of us might do pro bono work. You know, I might help someone in my district on a voluntary basis with their taxes, or my husband might. Does that mean that anything that I might do for that organization now to help them in any way by any bill that would benefit them and others in the community, that that's a conflict of interest because I had a prior relationship or involvement with that entity. If I serve on a board or a board in the community, and then I later, you know, I ask for, they do a jobs program, and I author legislation to help them with their jobs program. Because I'm a board member, I mean, I personally, I'm not, I think that's kind of a gray area, so I avoid serving on boards, but I don't think it should be, maybe I did in the past, you know, before I was a legislator. That's certainly the case. I can think of an example right now. 30 years ago, I was on the board of Neighborhood House, and I introduced legislation to provide some bonding support for them in the 23 bill. Would that be considered a conflict of interest? Because I had a prior relationship with them. So I think that we have to be very careful with this advisory opinion and what we issue. Because if we're doing our job as legislators, as I said, we have a lot of relationships and a lot of people we know in the community, and that informs our work as legislators. That should be considered a good thing. Anybody else have a comment? Senator Matthews, you've been quiet.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess my question to you, or maybe to staff, is what was the testifier process? Who was available to come and share their perspectives on either side of this meeting? And before you answer, the reason I'm asking that is that we're basically being asked to render a decision after only hearing one side of the issue. And there are definitely other experts that weighed in with other opinions. I saw just a little bit of that in how some of this was covered. But I don't think that a committee like this can come in and make final determinations on something after only hearing one side of the issue. And there's an indication on Tuesday that no public testimony was going to be granted back then. Same is true today. So I'm wondering, why didn't the committee even entertain having other experts that represent or might weigh in on both sides of the issue come and talk about potential, whether there are, how far the conflict of interest issue might be reaching?
Senator Matthews, this is kind of uncharted territory because we don't do this very often. I don't believe in the past limited cases that we've had that there was any expert testimony. And also that because the statute is so narrow, it just talks about a financial conflict, and that's what we're addressing. It doesn't really, you know, I think a lot of people could have broader ideas about what are, you know, inappropriate connections in the world or the business world or whatever, or the political world. But it just didn't seem to be so relevant here that we as elected officials are capable of judging whether someone has a financial interest. I mean, many times people, or several often, well, occasionally, not even often, people will excuse themselves from a vote because they self-know that they have a direct financial interest, and so they don't vote on an issue. I've seen that happen over my many years here. But so it just didn't seem like it was necessary to do that.
Madam Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry, Senator Matthews.
Thank you. And I appreciate that. I do think we are in a bit of uncharted territory because I think this case, while it has a few similarities to some of the prior cases that were provided and that we reviewed, this is very different in a lot of ways from all of those previous cases. We have a committee panel here that's made up of two Republicans, two DFLers that have those relationships that are already baked in here. And we've just had a testifier who's the subject and then the attorneys representing that subject who obviously have their positions in favor of the client that they're representing. So this committee likely would have benefited from being able to bring in some of the outside experts that have looked at this and grilled them on from their neutral positions that don't have these partisan connections built in. Why do you have your opinion? How does that weigh against 1007? Is that narrowly tailored? The paid versus the pro bono, all of that. So there still are a lot of questions that are hanging out there in my mind.
Perhaps if you do have questions, then Ms. Stengel could address them as, you know, our kind of legal advisor here at the legislature. And also, I think that your idea of having, opposing perspectives is more appropriate in the actual ethics complaint, because then you have somebody who is actually accusing Senator Champion of an ethics violation, and then you have his opportunity to defend himself. But here, he's come forward to ask for an advisory committee. There's no real anybody who is opposing this, if you will. It's just under our current, it's a pretty narrow, narrow assignment we have here to just look at Minnesota Statute 10A07 and Senate Rule 56.4. Ms. Stengel read those provisions and determined whether there is basically a financial conflict.
Madam Chair.
Senator Matthews.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I think this request does go a little deeper than just an advisory opinion because trying to see which of the letters is the one that I'm looking for. I believe at least the one released today. Hang on one second while I'm trying to find the information I'm looking for. Oh, do you have it? Okay. So the April 7th letter is asking for an advisor opinion, is also giving the position of the party where Senator Champion said, I maintain there was no conflict of interest. The letter that was released and dated today is concluding by basically trying to give a directive to the subcommittee and say the subcommittee must conclude that no conflict of interest existed. Statements were made by the attorney on Tuesday that were basically saying the same thing. The committee must give a determination in favor of our client. And when we are at that level, we are a lot deeper than some of the previous cases where a senator's like, here's the bills that are going on. Even one of them where it was a bill introduced the year prior, and I want the committee to help weigh in for the remainder of this biennium, you know, is it or isn't it a conflict of interest based on the outside employment that the senator had in tied in with all the bills? So I do agree with that to a point. I do think the request, though, has gone a little bit deeper than just asking for a blank slate advisory opinion from this committee.
Well, Senator Matthews, that's really our charge. In the ethics complaint, we can go deeper, but regardless of what Senator Champion requested, our charge is to just provide a fairly narrow advisory committee as to whether Senator Champion has a financial conflict of interest based on the two rules that we were discussing. Of course, I did mention, besides finding no conflict, a conflict, or a conflict, but you know, maybe you should be more careful, there is the fourth option, which is inconclusive, that we have not reached a finding. Obviously, Senator Champion would like us to reach a finding, but it's up to us to decide. Any more thoughts or discussion from anyone?
Madam Chair.
Senator Miller.
Thank you. I'm wondering if Ms. Stengel could remind the committee of what we are here to do today and what is required or asked of this committee. And the reason I ask is we're here to serve an advisory role, but the way I read the Rule 55.2 is we must issue recommendations. And I'm wondering what specifically that means.
Ms. Stengel.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Senator Miller. That's a great question that I don't have a good answer to. So you've seen the past examples, and that's the best thing that I have to go on. 55.2 talks about both recommendations and an opinion. So I think it's up to the subcommittee to decide what to do, and sort of looking at the past opinions, that would be sort of a finding of whether there is or is not a conflict. In the past, there's been not a conflict, so there wasn't a lot of recommendation on what to do. So I would imagine if this committee either finds that there is a conflict of interest or there isn't a conflict of interest, but the actions were inadvisable, the subcommittee could then say, and here's what we'd like you to do to remedy this, or if there are other actions to take, the subcommittee could decide what kind of recommendations it would like to make. I think because this is not a complaint process, there's no sort of due process hearing or anything like that, so any sort of disciplinary actions would probably be outside of the bounds of this particular process. We need to fall into a complaint process, but there could be sort of recommendations about perhaps authorship of bills or things like that would be appropriate.
Yeah. Members, are we still thinking, or are we ready to consider a motion? I think we're still thinking. Senator Kunesh, did you want to share your thoughts?
Sure. Being a legislator and being somebody that's very active in the community, it is sometimes a really hard balance between how we advocate for the issues within our communities and how we can legislate and how we can best support those members. And you talked about schools as a teacher for 25 years, and the chair of education finance. If I, can it be mistaken or mistook that I am funneling money or putting money into specific projects or areas of my own interest, for example, libraries? Does this now become a conflict of interest? Maybe I'm not gaining any benefits, financial benefit out of these sort of things. But if I were to go back and work in a library that I had just, funded for whatever reason, perhaps down the road that would happen. But I think it's important to remember that the work that Senator Champion did as pro bono work was prior to the legislation that that he offered, and in support of the community organizations that he did. I think that, as you mentioned, we are all connected to our communities. I'm sure there can be many lines drawn to different forms of conflict of interest. And I think it's, if you are ready, I would have a motion. I don't know what the other side over there has left to do, but I would be prepared to offer a motion.
Are members ready for a motion, or? All right, Senator Kunesh.
Great. Well, I would offer no conflict. Senator Champion does not have a conflict of interest from what I can ascertain under Minnesota Statute 10A.07 and Senate Rule 56.4. This is in relation to authoring Senate File 2970 and in 2023, and then Senate File 2978 in this year of 2025. And so I would advise that this opinion be issued to this effect as no conflict.
Discussion. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Can she please repeat the motion?
Senator Kunesh.
My motion is no conflict.
No conflict under what? Which rules?
Under Minnesota Statute 10A.07 and Senate Rule 56.4.
Madam Chair.
Senator Miller.
Senator Kunesh, one of the things that 55.2 asks us to do is issue recommendations to the member or the employee. Does your motion include any recommendations to pass on to Senator Champion or any other members that are in a similar situation?
Her original motion that she read, and then you asked her to repeat it, included in that an advisory opinion be issued to that effect.
Yep.
Okay, so no recommendations for Senator Champion or any other members that are in a similar situation are included in your motion. Right.
I do not have recommendations at this time.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point, Senator Miller. Our charge here is very narrow, but if the legislature at large wants to consider other guidance for legislators, then I think that would be, I don't know that that's appropriate for us, but I think it would certainly be appropriate for the legislature to consider that.
Madam Chair, if I read Senate Rule 55.2, it says the subcommittee must issue recommendations. So I'm a little confused why we're not issuing any recommendations. I'm just reading Senate Rule 55.2. I thought that was our charge. I thought we were here to issue an advisory opinion as well as Rule 55.2 says, must issue recommendations.
Madam Chair, thank you. If we find that there is no conflict, then I don't know what advice we would give them, other than to think a little more carefully, be a little more broad thinking, and that would go for all of us. I think Senator Matthew works with veterans. Does that mean that he can no longer advocate for veterans?
Ms. Stengel, could you just talk us to just say what you think it means to say must issue recommendations, as Senator Miller has mentioned?
Madam Chair and members, I think it means whatever the committee wants it to mean, to be honest, and I don't mean to be flip about that. But I think it would be up to the committee to decide what recommendations it would like to issue in this situation. And if the subcommittee either can't agree or doesn't have any recommendations to issue to put into the report, I think you could include something that says we have no recommendation at this time. But if you have recommendations you'd like to include in the report, then certainly those could go in.
So Senator Miller, when I mentioned earlier, I said there were four options. One is a finding of no conflict, and that's Senator Kunesh's motion. Second, a finding of conflict. Third would be a finding of conflict, of no conflict, but with the guidance and understanding that these actions were inadvisable, blah, 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 blah. That's where we could, the third option is where we could make those recommendations, if that was a motion that you wanted to make. But this motion is basically there's no conflict and no recommendations.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I understand that. I'm just reading Rule 55.2. It does not say the subcommittee may issue recommendations. It says the subcommittee must issue recommendations, and I don't know that we're doing, and maybe the subcommittee doesn't have any recommendations, and that might be fine. I could think of some recommendations if the subcommittee says that if the subcommittee votes that there is that there was no conflict under 10A.07, perhaps a member, when they're explaining the bill in a hearing, could disclose that, hey, I did some legal work for this client, but it was pro bono. That would be letting the committee know ahead of time that there was some work done, but it was done in a pro bono capacity. To me, had that been done in this situation, I don't think we're here today. But that wasn't done, so that could be a recommendation. As Senator Kunesh mentioned, maybe members could be more thoughtful, or I don't know exactly what you said. You didn't include any recommendations, but then when I asked you the question, you said other than a member could do this or a member could do that. I think that's our responsibility today, so we're not back here again under a similar situation. What advice or recommendation can we give to our colleagues in the Senate if they are faced with a similar situation? And again, maybe there aren't any recommendations, but I know that I could think of a few. I might need a little bit more time to put them in a more formal capacity, but I'm pretty confident that I myself could come up with a couple of recommendations, and I'm certain that the rest of you could as well.
Senator Miller, do you know how long it takes us to debate rules? So I think that really is a broader debate. I'm certainly not opposed to that, but I don't know if it would be enough then if we were trying to provide guidance to members to only say, you know, let us know if you provided pro bono work. I mean, that applies to lawyers, but what do we also say? Let us know if you formerly served on a board of this organization. Let us know if you ever went to that church. Let us know if you ever shopped at that business. You know, I mean, I think that that needs a lot more thought than something that we can, in my opinion, that we can provide today. Because, I mean, yeah, we could provide that guidance, that rather narrow guidance. I actually think it would be a shame if Senator Champion stopped doing pro bono work. But you're talking about just revealing it, not stopping to do it. But does even revealing it, you know, raise a red flag? I mean, I don't know. Does that mean if I reveal something? I just think of all the instances where I have a connection with something in my community, like we all do, and worry about us going down that path. Senator Matthews.
Madam Chair, thank you. Now that it's been mentioned twice today and at least once on Tuesday, excuse me. Springtime, Madam Chair. Because it's been mentioned twice today and at least once on Tuesday, let's dispel what we are not in any way trying to make a chilling effect on pro bono work. That's not the intent of, I believe, any member here, any volunteer work capacity in our districts and our connections there. I'm certainly not voting for any recommendation that says a lawyer who's a legislator should no longer do pro bono work for anybody. But I think the question then comes in of what we do for disclosure to our colleagues when there is a bill that's going to direct taxpayer dollars to an entity that a member has a previous relationship with. And I think at a bare minimum, disclosure of that past relationship is appropriate. Now we're gonna have to figure out, and this will probably be a bigger context for all throughout here, if I was coming with a bonding request for a new addition on the church that I attend up in my district, I would likely be in committee disclosing. Madam Chair, committee members, full disclosure, this is the church that I attend. Here's the project that they're doing. Here's the dollar amount. And I think that the committee would want to know that rather than 2 years later, we go, wait a minute, we gave X number of dollars, and now we find out that, you know, he's the elder there. He's the, you know, he's been there for years. He's a good friend of the pastor, whatever it is. I think that's the overall perception that we're having. And we have to make these decisions. This has to meet the shoe on the other foot test. This can't just be something we would say when it's a member of the same party versus the opposite party. And as soon as I heard that this issue was coming up, my initial thought was, well, yes, I would tell someone in my own caucus that had a legal relationship like this that at a minimum, there needs to be at least a statement made disclosing, hey, here, FYI, here's the relationship that we had. Now that here's the bill in the committee that the member is a chair of that's directing public funding towards it. I think the committee and then the Senate as a whole ought to know that regardless of what party they're in. So at a minimum, I think any recommendation that I'm voting for today at a minimum is going to have to include at least that.
And Senator Matthews, how would you phrase that? I mean, how extensive would that disclosure need to be? I guess I'm just thinking to myself, I've been in the legislature a long time and I may not even remember if I had a relationship with an entity 30 years ago. You know, I mean, how far back do we have to go? A relationship within the last 2 years? Or and who, in some ways, who don't I have a relationship with? Because I probably visited the project, you know, and maybe somebody I worked with years ago is now the executive director, or I'm just thinking of another project on the east side of St. Paul where I actually hired him to be the director of the Latino Council. And then he left there and went on to direct another entity that then we gave dollars to. You know, did I think that I should disclose that relationship? No, because I have dozens, if not hundreds, of those relationships. So I think maybe if it's to the best of our ability to provide, you know, full transparency or full disclosure of, I'm not quite sure how we should phrase that. And that's why I'm saying that maybe that's not our job today to do that. But certainly we could advise the legislature to really look into, or the rules committee to really look into potential conflicts of interest beyond the narrow financial conflict or potential just disclosure ideas. Yeah, I think that might be a good idea. I just don't know that we can take care of this today.
Madam Chair.
Senator Kunesh.
I think that you are correct. I think this is bigger than what we have to figure out or what we need to recommend in the next few minutes. And I think it's a bigger discussion for our caucuses and, as you said, to go through rules. But 10A.07 is a statute that describes disclosure of potential conflict. And specifically, anything that affects the official's financial interest or those of an associated business, unless the effect on the official is no greater than other members of the official's business classification, profession, occupation. So that is the law. And if we try to start nitpicking and listing specific examples, it will be infinite. It will absolutely be infinite. And so I think for this situation, where we are right now, you know, we might have some advice for our colleagues, but but we don't have any standing. You and I and our GOP members really can't make the new rules or the broaden the expectations right here, right now. And so I guess I would, again, renew my motion for a no conflict with no recommendation.
Senator Miller and Senator Matthews, I know you're trying to figure out language, but Senator Kunesh has asked for us to vote on the motion of no conflict. And let's see what happens with that motion, and then we can move on.
And Madam Chair, I appreciate the motion, and I'm almost there, but I'm not there without some sort of recommendation. So, and we're getting closer to a potential, some potential language. I'm happy to vote on the motion. I'm not going to support it without some sort of recommendation. But I'm wondering if we could recess for approximately 10 or 15 minutes, just to see if any of us can come up with some recommendations.
Okay.
So I'm happy to vote on the motion. I'm not going to support that motion without some sort of recommendation. But after we take that, I would ask that we recess for approximately 15 minutes.
And Senator Miller, we can certainly hold on the motion. But it would be then a motion with recommendations. And we could certainly make recommendations to the legislature, not just to Senator Champion.
That's what Madam Chair and members of the committee, members of the public, that's what I'm trying to get to.
Okay.
If we are going to issue an advisory opinion, I think it's our responsibility that we give advice not only to Senator Champion, but to all of us. And it is difficult because we're all involved in our communities. We all serve on boards. Maybe we're not attorneys doing pro bono work, but we're doing volunteer work. So it is challenging, but I think it's our responsibility to at least provide some recommendations so we're not back in this same situation again. So I would ask for a recess for approximately 15 minutes.
Okay, the committee is in recess for 15 minutes. Thank you. conduct. We'll come back to order. Senator Miller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm wondering if Senator Champion will come forward. I have one, I think, one question for him that I just want confirmation on.
Senator Miller.
Senator Champion, I don't think we need the exhibits for this one, but I do have them in front of me. Senator Champion, can you just please confirm for the committee that the work that you did, the legal work that you did for the organizations in question that either directly or indirectly benefited from a bill that you chief authored, that you did in fact do that work pro bono, meaning that you were not paid for, you or your firm were not paid for the legal work?
Madam Chair? Madam Chair and Senator Miller.
Senator Champion.
I am confirming that I only did that work pro bono. I did not receive any anything from it. Not anyone in my firm. I have a small boutique firm, so it's just me. But so no, I didn't receive any revenue. And I do not own a company or anything else that would benefit from any contracts or anything of that particular nature.
Thank you.
Senator Kunesh.
Thank you, Madam Chair. At this time, I will withdraw my motion for non-conflict.
Thank you, Senator Kunesh. Senator Matthews.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to come with a motion. I want to thank Ms. Stengel, our counsel, for helping get our ideas down into words. So, Madam Chair, my motion will be that I move that the subcommittee find that Senator Champion has no financial conflict of interest under Minnesota Statute 10A.07 and Senate Rule 56.4 relating to Senate File 2978 in 2025. However, the subcommittee recommends that in the future, Senator Champion disclose any appearance of a potential conflict of interest to the committees of interest when the chief author of bills. Finally, the subcommittee further makes no finding on SF 2970 from 2023, and then an advisory opinion be issued to this effect.
And what I'm thinking, members, is that this guidance is not only for Senator Champion, but for all of us. That if it's of interest to the committee for us to reveal that we did some volunteer work, or we did some, or we served on a board, you know, maybe in the past. And I think that's actually a very positive thing that shows that we've been involved in our community and we know a lot what's going on in our community. So I feel like these recommendations, although they're directed to Senator Champion because he asked for the opinion, are really applicable to all of us legislators, senators at least. Thank you. Any other comments on the motion?
Just for clarity,
Senator Champion?
That there's no conflict for 2023 or 2025, is that correct?
Senator
Matthews.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This motion would state no financial conflict of interest for the 2025 bill. My motion is intending to be silent. It is saying it is making no finding on 2023. I am making the motion that way because I cannot get my mind to wrap around any definition of a potential conflict of interest for a bill that had final action 2 years ago and is done and over with. So. And I don't think that the committee would likely be able to get majority votes for either way on that issue. So that's why I believe I'm making this motion to be silent on 2023 and make a finding of no financial conflict of interest under 2025. They are similar enough in the topic in what they're intending to do. That I believe it covers that. I just don't see under our Senate rules that the committee is able to weigh in with an advisory opinion for a potential conflict of interest that no longer meets any definition of a potential conflict of interest. That's why I stated the motion that way.
So, Ms. Stengel, would you repeat the motion so that we're clear?
Madam Chair and members, I believe the motion would be Senator Matthews moves that the subcommittee find that Senator Champion has no financial conflict of interest under Minnesota Statute 10A07 and Senate Rule 56.4 relating to Senate File 2978 in 2025. However, the subcommittee recommends that in the future, Senator Champion disclose any appearance of a potential conflict of interest to the committees of interest when he is the chief author of bills. The subcommittee further makes no finding on Senate File 2970 from 2023 and that an advisory opinion be issued to this effect.
Any more comments from the members? Then Senator Matthews.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Only final comment I'll make very briefly is mere disclosure, I think, is all that we're after, and that standard would be applied to any member in here, regardless of party. In similar situations, I think mere disclosure would be beneficial to the people of Minnesota, to the constituencies that we serve, and would give each of our committees that are examining bills all the relevant information that they need in making their decisions. So mere disclosure is all that we're after.
Okay. Any other comments? Then all in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Do I have to do anything else? Thank you, members. Please, just a minute, audience. Ms. Stengel will draft an opinion for members of the subcommittee to review, and we will approve that when we meet again on the 5th. With that, our work is concluded, and the meeting is adjourned.